The Bible verse most often used by Protestants against praying to the saints is 1 Timothy 2:5, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." The idea is that praying to someone in heaven other than Jesus is an attempt to cut Jesus out of the equation altogether. But is that what Catholics are doing when we, quote, pray to saints? Does it really violate the unique mediation of Christ? First of all, let's explain the Bible verse. Christ, by his incarnation, is the only God-man, and his death and resurrection opened the door for salvation for humanity. That is what this verse is saying. Only Christ can bridge the gap between God and man. So does this mean that by asking other Christians for prayer, we are violating the unique mediation of Christ? Of course not. In fact, Paul encourages Christians to pray for one another and asks Christians to pray for him. 1 Timothy 3:1. "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all men." Romans 15:30. "I appeal to you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf." Well, that's all we're doing when we, quote, pray to saints. We are asking another Christian to pray for us. The original meaning of the English word pray is to make a request, not to worship, though it can be used to worship God. You see this in medieval documents. It'll say so-and-so prays to the court or the king for mercy. Now, of course, Protestants understand that it's okay, if not encouraged, to ask other Christians to pray for you. No Protestant would ever say to someone when asked for prayer, "What are you doing? Haven't you read 2 Timothy? By asking me for prayer, you're violating Christ's unique mediation. I don't understand why you don't just go to Jesus directly." On the contrary, you see billboards saying, "Call this number and someone will pray for you." Watch the televangelist, and at some point they will say, "If you need prayer, call this number." Again, I know I already said this, but it bears repeating. When Catholics pray to a saint, what we are doing is asking that saint to pray for us, just like we would ask any other Christian to pray for us. Because that saint, whether human or angel, is a Christian and a member of the church and a member of the body of Christ. That is what the communion of saints means. You see, the church is in three places: this life, the church militant; purgatory, the church suffering; and heaven, the church triumphant. And we pray for one another. Of course, we don't pray for the saints. They are no need of prayer. But we know they are watching us. Hebrews chapter 11, 39 states, "These were all commended for their faith." He actually went through a list of Old Testament saints prior to this. "Yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect." And then chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." And we know they are involved in our prayer life. Revelation 5:8. "And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and with golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." Revelation 8:3. "And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to mingle with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar before the throne." These passages clearly show the saints are not passive concerning us. But isn't prayer to the saints necromancy? In short, no. Necromancy, which is conjuring up the dead, is strictly forbidden in Scripture and by the Church. Necromancy is trying to have a conversation with someone from the world of the dead in order to gain knowledge. When we ask a saint to pray for us, we don't expect a direct reply from them any more than if someone prayed to Jesus, they would expect him to appear and give his answer. The rule is God allows a one-way but not a two-way conversation. This is all throughout the Bible. There are multiple examples where angels have appeared to men and given a message. For example, the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. A host of angels appeared to the shepherds on Christmas Eve. Paul even tells us to test the spirits in case this happens to us. And at the transfiguration of Jesus at Mount Tabor, which is shown for us in Matthew chapter 17:2, Mark 9:2 through 3, and Luke 9:28 through 36, Jesus spoke with and the apostles saw Moses and Elijah. Jesus never broke the law, but this law is not as forbidding as Protestants make it out to be. Besides, according to Jesus, the saints aren't dead, they're alive. Matthew 22:32, "I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living." Luke 20:38, "Now he is not the God of the dead, but of the living." And we have examples of prayers to the angels in the Old Testament. The 103rd Psalm, verse 20 says, "Bless the Lord, all his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, hearkening to the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his will. The 148th Psalm says, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights, praise him all his angels, praise him all his hosts. Of course, the early church understood all of this. In the Shepherd of Hermas, which is written in 80 AD, we read, but those who are weak and slothful in prayer hesitate to ask anything from the Lord, but the Lord is full of compassion and gives without fail to all who ask him. But you, Hermas, having been strengthened by the holy angel you saw and having obtained from him such intercession and not being slothful, why do you not ask of the Lord understanding and receive it from him? Clement of Alexandria in 208 says, in this way is he, the true Christian, always pure for prayer. He always prays in the society of angels as being already of angelic rank, and he is never out of their holy keeping. And though he prays alone, he has the choir of the saints standing with him in prayer. Origen in 233 says, but not the high priest, Christ, alone prays for those who pray sincerely, but also the angels and also the souls of the saints who have fallen asleep already. Cyprian of Carthage in 253 AD says, let us remember one another in accord and unanimity. Let us on both sides of death always pray for one another. Let us relieve burdens and afflictions by mutual love, that if one of us, by the swiftness of divine condescension, shall go hence first, our love may continue in the presence of the Lord, and our prayers for our brethren and sisters not cease in the presence of the Father's mercy. Methodius in 305 AD says, hail to you forever, Virgin Mother of God, our unceasing joy, for to you do I turn again. Hail to you, treasure of the love of God. Hail, you font of the Son's love for man. And now in an early papyrus prayer that can date no later than 250 AD, so it's probably much earlier than that, reads, beneath your compassion we take refuge, O Mother of God. Do not despise our petitions in time of trouble, but rescue us from dangers, only pure, only blessed one. But why bother asking a saint to pray for you? Why not just ask living people? Well, the saints are perfect and without sin and righteous. And according to the Bible, in James 5:16, we read, the prayer of a righteous man has great power in its effects. We know the saints are righteous. We cannot be so sure about the guy sitting next to us in the pew. Certainly, he is not as righteous as the saints. But more than that, if he's not in a state of grace, his prayers will do nothing. Until my next video, God bless.